In the name of Jesus. Amen. What is Thanksgiving? Is it a national holiday or a Christian festival? Well, I suppose we could argue about it all night long, right? Why are we all gathered here if it's just a national holiday? One thing I guess we can say as Christians, though, is that we know who to give thanks to, don't we? If we just thought about Thanksgiving superficially, maybe the way the culture does, we might just simply say, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shop. And surely then we'd just say, well, thank you, Best Buy, for giving me the great deals. And thank you, Neiman Marcus, for your sales. Thank you, Hollywood, for giving us all the great entertainment we're going to watch over the weekend. Thank you, Kroger. Thank you, Publix. Thank you, Food Lion, Food City, for all the food and goodness. But one thing's certainly missing, isn't it? And so, Christians, when we think about Thanksgiving, we think about it more spiritually, don't we? Spiritually. How do we do that? Well, as Christians, we might, one way, think about Thanksgiving spiritually is by looking at the Apostles' Creed. Just remembering who God is, what He's done, and how to give Him thanks based on that little model that we confess tonight. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Certainly, that's really why Thanksgiving was begun a long time ago in early America, to give thanks to God for the land, to have a sacrifice of food, and thank God for the bounty, the harvest. So also we are taught in our catechism by Luther to give God praise and thanks for food, drink, house, home, spouse, family, workers, everything that I have, my reason and all my senses. For all this, Luther says, it is our duty to thank and praise, serve, and obey Him. The first gift, the first article gifts of God, the first article of the Creed, we think of God as the Creator. We give Him thanks for creation. Secondly, we can think about Jesus, the second article of the Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, and so forth, the whole gospel that we confess in the Creed. For the gift of, we remember in the Catechism, redemption. That God has bought us back. He's healed us by His cross. We're healed by His open tomb. We're reminded we have life everlasting. Certainly that's what we hear about in our text today, Luke 17, the redemption that Jesus won and was winning as God's Son in the world that could heal. And heal those 10 lepers, healing for the whole world, you might even say, is a little glimpse of those 10 representing all of humanity, even though how many come back to give Him thanks? Just one. And what do we learn from this? Be the one out of the 10, isn't it? Yeah. Be one out of 10, O people of God. And share and invite others to know God, that He healed all people, not just the one. He healed all 10, even though one gives thanks. Kind of reminds us of our vocation as Christians. But above all, we give thanks to God for Christ Jesus, for that gift of healing, redemption that is for all the world. Thirdly, we could give thanks to God for the third article of the Creed, sanctification, in which we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And then that goes on to say, and the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Those are the five things, if you will, of sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, those are all things, not that we do. These are all things that God does. We don't form the church. God formed the church. We don't make up communion. God gives us communion. We don't do the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus won on the cross. But the Holy Spirit, it's His job to communicate that and gather a church together to rejoice in that forgiveness and to know the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. All things that God does. That's our life of sanctification. And surely because we know there is communion, surely because we know there is a forgiveness of sins and a life everlasting and a church, we have a reason to give God thanks. So in the third article of the Creed, too, we learn about thanksgiving, too. We can thank God for all the gifts that the Holy Spirit makes known to us in our baptism and in communion and in all the church, everything that we know and hear about God, the Holy Spirit making known to us. Thanks be to God for that. So now we've looked at thanksgiving a couple ways. Superficially, spiritually, and maybe now we could also look at it with specificity to our Christian mission. How would we do that? Well, in our gatherings, tomorrow on Thanksgiving, we have an opportunity, do we not, to bear witness to the thanks that we give to God, not just inside our hearts, but also publicly. When we gather around the table, we have family or friends over, We can give a prayer. The head of the household can make a prayer, giving thanks to God through Jesus Christ for the sacrifice that has been made, for the hands that labor to give us this food, but also, again, for Christ Jesus and his gift that renews us for a new creation. So there's an opportunity to bear witness there as we pray and the children pray. Secondly, on the internet, you know, some of you have social media. You might put a picture of your table at the family gathering. You could put at the bottom a little caption, thanks to Jesus for these things, bearing witness to our faith. Another way, in the marketplaces or at the movies, for those of you who go there, you might have compassion and forgiveness, especially when that other person cuts you off in line. As a Christian, you have an opportunity to bear witness to whom you know, Jesus, by what you do and by how you react to things. And you're not just the first one to tackle somebody else for the Xbox or whatever, right? We show compassion, we show love, forgiveness. We can be content like St. Paul. We know how to abound and get the first deal, or have nothing and get the last deal. It doesn't matter. Now, we have all things in Christ Jesus. That's the main thing. We share that with others. Praise be to God. So you can look at Thanksgiving superficially. You can look at it spiritually as Christians. You can look at it with specificity to our mission. And also there may be an invitation there too for mission. You could invite people to say, hey, come back next Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. Come back next Wednesday. We have more Advent service. It's a time of preparation for Jesus coming. Once in Bethlehem, again in the sacrament and baptism, and then finally in the life everlasting. So come learn about these things as a church. Come with us. It's free. Come have a dinner with us, Advent meals. Come listen to the choir. Come worship noon or night. During Advent, hear about Jesus. Love and hear those things that God has done for eternal life, not just temporal things, eternal things, an opportunity. Finally, though, there is not just superficial, not just spiritual, not just specificity for our mission, but finally, Thanksgiving might be something of sorrow and joy. Sorrow and joy. Certainly, as we look around the table, remember who's there, we can also remember who's not there. Loved ones that we've lost that used to be with us at Thanksgiving time. And what do? Well, we have sorrow. They're no longer here on earth with us. But also we can give thanks to God because for those whom we know the Lord loved, called to his home through faith and for the life everlasting, we can rejoice and have this great joy, knowing something wonderful, that heaven is full. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. It is also a land full of the people whom we love, the saints who have gone before us. And therefore, we can say something that no one else in the whole wide world can say at Thanksgiving. Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we live. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.